Friends, one of the biggest retailers in books today is Amazon.com. And since I'm an owner and a frequent user of Amazon's e-reader known as the Kindle, I will get on Amazon's website quite regularly to see what kinds of books are being offered. Now, maybe you knew this or maybe you didn't, but Amazon actually offers a daily list. It is a top 100 list. It's a top 100 list of books that are being downloaded on their site. In fact, they offer not only this top 100 list of books that are being purchased, they also have a top 100 list of books that are free, that are constantly being given away. You know, family, every time I get on Amazon.com and I'm making my way through that top 100 list, I'm always astounded at how many books are there in the genre of romance. Now, without a doubt, many of the books that are out in the general public today under the genre of romance, of course, many of them are seedy and they're dirty, they're sexual, they're very crass, and they have no business being in the reading library of a Christian. But not all of those romance novels are seedy or dirty. Many of them are just trying to tell a pure story, a captivating love story. Interestingly enough, family, while the romance genre is certainly not new, there have been a number of new categories of romance books being launched in recent days, and I'll just mention a few of them. Maybe some of you know that there is a category today called Amish romance. Of course, these are romances that take place in and around Amish country. And then there's Western romance. We're talking about the cowboy romances and the wagon train. There's also historical romance, anything that would be in the past. You say, well, what kind of historical romance? Well, pick an era of history, and there are romance stories that are written in those time periods. The Victorian era, the World War II era, the colonial era. I mean, you pick any time period in history, and there are authors writing romance stories in those time periods. Next, of course, is the paranormal romance. It's hard to believe it, but yes, romance is involved with various people, and they're alien hunters, or they're chasing vampires or ghosts, and there's all kinds of these paranormal-type romance stories. And then lastly, of course, is the contemporary romance, which is basically just stories that are set in the modern 21st century. You know, family, there's no denying in both dollars and in downloads, people love a great love story. People love a great love story. How two people are brought together and the happy outcome that follows from their partnership. Well, believers, we're going to open our Bibles today to the Old Testament book of Ruth. And today you and I are going to embark on a genre that we could call the redemptive romance. The redemptive romance. And this is a romance story that appears in the pages of God's Word, where a man and a woman are brought together under the providence of God's wisdom, and their union has an astounding impact on human history. Their coming together in this romantic love story changes human history. They have an impact on the great redemption story. So family, if you would, I want you to join me here in Ruth chapter 1 as we consider this introductory message today on Ruth, a story of romance and redemption. Now friends, in just a few minutes, we're going to read chapter 1 in its entirety, which will really help to whet our appetites for this in-depth exposition that we'll be doing over the next few Sundays. But before we begin to hear the story as it unfolds, I want us to spend some time today really thinking on and starting to become acquainted with some of the important background information that you and I need to understand. There are some things that you and I need to know first relating to the book of Ruth before we start diving in and really studying this narrative. So I hope you'll take your bulletin now, and we want to consider today in this message some of the important context, some of the important background information that you and I need to have in our understanding so that we can rightly interpret and read and benefit from this great book called Ruth. So let's begin today, family. Let's first of all begin by talking about the title. The title. The book of Ruth receives its title in honor of the main character of the story. She's the main heroine of this book. You know, it's interesting, family. This book of Ruth is the only book in the Old Testament that is named after a non-Jewish person. This is the only book of the Bible in the Old Testament that's named after someone who was not Jewish. In fact, it's interesting, family, this particular book of the Bible, the book of Ruth, is just one of two books in the Bible that's actually named after a woman. Anyone tell me? Anyone want to take a guess? What are the two books in the Bible named after a woman? What are they? Ruth is one of them. What's the other one? Esther. Very good. Ruth and Esther are the only two books of the Bible named after a woman. Now, interestingly enough, they have something somewhat similar in both of them. Ruth tells the story of a Gentile woman who marries a Jew who becomes ultimately the ancestors of Jesus, the Messiah. Esther is the story of a Jewish woman who marries a Gentile man, and they are used in that story of Esther designed to protect the Jewish people, the Jewish line, the Jewish nation, so that ultimately the Messiah could be born. Family, as we think about the book of Ruth, God is one of the main characters in this story. Although we don't necessarily hear God speak, God is ever present in the book of Ruth. In fact, 25 times in this little book, God's name is mentioned. And over again in this book, we see God's loving hand present. We see His providential hand moving in this story. So we could really say that God is the unsung hero of the book of Ruth. Now, the name Ruth is quite interesting. Her name literally means friendship. Friendship. This was likely a shared name that had some existence in both the people groups of the Hebrews and the Moabites. We're going to see that Ruth was a Moabite woman. She was not Jewish by birth, but her name means friendship. And as we study through this book, we're going to see how her name really characterizes her as she truly is a woman who lives up to that name. It's interesting, family, still today, the book of Ruth is read annually by very devoted Jews. Orthodox Jews read the book of Ruth every year during the harvest season. It's called the Feast of Pentecost. And when Jews celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, it is a tradition that the book of Ruth be read. Why is that? Well, because Ruth is married to a man whose name is Boaz, and their marriage takes place during the harvest season when the barley and the wheat was being winnowed. And so this is a special tradition where the book of Ruth still has relevance today, where it's still being read and enjoyed by audiences today. Now let's shift gears. Let's talk secondly now, family, as we want to get a good understanding of this book that we're going to be entering into together. Let's talk number two this morning about the author and the date. The author and the date of writing of the book of Ruth. Let's take a minute here just to talk about some authorship. Who wrote the book of Ruth? Well, no one really knows for sure. Many Bible scholars think that maybe it was Samuel. There's a Jewish tradition, even in one of the writings of the Talmud, that says that the prophet Samuel was the guy who wrote the book of Ruth, but we can't say that for sure. It may have been Samuel. It may not have been. It may have been one of Samuel's contemporaries. If the prophet Samuel was the author of this book, well, that tells us that it would have been written near the time of David, when young David was just being anointed as the king of Israel. One of the reasons Samuel may have written this book would be to justify King David's rise to the throne. But again, I want to just drive this home. We think that perhaps Samuel was the writer, but many conservative evangelical scholars are very doubtful of that. We can't say for sure that Samuel was the writer. Now, most scholars are in agreement about when this was written. Most scholars believe that the book of Ruth was written during the time of David. the time of Israel's united monarchy. This would have been the time of Israel's golden era when this was written, the time of David and the time of Solomon, when the nation of Israel was still united in its power and had that united king. It's interesting, Solomon isn't mentioned. There's a little family genealogy that's given to us at the end of Ruth, but Solomon's name does not appear. So that indicates to us that this was probably written during David's time, during David's lifetime, but not before Solomon appeared. So what does that mean? That puts us at a timeline of right around 1000 BC, 1000 BC that we think Ruth was written. Moving on, let's talk about the location. Number three, let's talk about the location and the setting for this special book. Every story has a setting. Every story takes place in some place, in some location. There's a place where a plot unfolds. And so it is with this great story of Ruth. If you look with me in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, would you look there with me? Ruth 1, 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. This tells us, family, that this particular story, when did it happen? When did the biography of Ruth take place? Well, it happened during that time period that we know as the time of the judges. This was a period in Israel's history that was not a real bright spot for the children of Israel. Many of you have read through the Old Testament book of Judges, and it is a very chaotic book. There is a lot of violence going on in the nation, a lot of disobedience. This is a very chaotic time in the book of Judges. Israel did not have a king as of yet, and so people were doing whatever they wanted to do, and there was a lot of sin, a lot of disobedience, again, a lot of chaos. Well, the book of Ruth is going to show us how a famine took place. A famine was happening in Judah. And in order to escape that famine, this family, the family of Elimelech, decides to relocate. And they relocate on the other side of the Dead Sea to this region that is called Moab. Now, I'm pretty sure I've got a map here for you up on the screen. So here on the upper left of the map there, you see Bethlehem, this region, the greater region of Judah, where there was a famine. And so the family of Elimelech has to respond. They've got to go to where there is food. And so they go to this land around the Dead Sea called Moab. Elimelech, when they arrive there, they are there for quite a time. Elimelech and his two sons ultimately die. And the wife, Naomi, and her two daughters-in-law are now left in a very difficult predicament. So you have this mother-in-law and you have her two daughters-in-law, and all their husbands, over a period of 10 years, all of their husbands have passed away. Well, Naomi finally learns that the famine has passed, that the famine has passed back in Bethlehem, and so she makes a decision, let's go back. I want to go back home. I want to go back with my own people again. So as we study through this book of Ruth, we're going to see this location change a little bit. We start out in Bethlehem in Judah, and then the family moves over to Moab. They're there for a short time, maybe about 10 years or so. And then after the famine passes, they decide to come back. So it's about an 11 or 12 year time period. Now let's shift gears and let's talk about some characters. Anytime you have a narrative, there are going to be main characters. And so it is with the book of Ruth. So let me introduce you to the main characters that we're going to be meeting and hearing from and studying about over the next 5 weeks. The first character, of course, is the true heroine of this story. Her name is Ruth. Ruth is the first character we'll mention. She is the main character, the main heroine. She's this woman. She's a Moabite. She's not a Jew, but she finds love. She finds a husband. And she ultimately becomes one of the direct ancestors for King David. And of course, out of that same family lineage, after David, eventually, you get to Jesus of Nazareth. So Ruth is the first character that we're going to meet and be introduced to. Second character, family, is Naomi. Naomi was the wife of Elimelech. Elimelech was kind of the father of the group, the patriarch. But we're going to learn that he dies. So you have Naomi, she's this widow. And Naomi is a mother-in-law to her two daughters-in-law. And those two daughters-in-law are Orpah and Ruth. Now, we're going to see that Naomi makes a very difficult decision. Naomi is the one who makes the decision to return back to Bethlehem. She hears, she's been living in Moab, but she hears that the famine is finally over. So she decides that she wants to go back with her people, to go back to Judah, to go back to Bethlehem. And this was quite a hard decision to make, because as she comes back, she has nothing. She has no husband, and even her two sons have passed away. So she's making a very hard decision, and we're going to see Naomi is a woman who struggles initially with some depression. She struggles with sorrow. She struggles with sadness and discouragement for what has transpired in her life. Now, let me tell you about a third character that we're going to meet in this great book of Ruth. His name is Boaz. Boaz is a farmer. He's a businessman. He's a very prosperous farmer, and he lives there in Bethlehem. We're going to see he is the man ultimately who becomes romantically involved with Ruth. He shows great kindness to her. Ultimately, he marries her. And we're going to see that totally changes her destiny. That ultimately affects the destiny of King David, who is one of their descendants. And then ultimately, that brings about the destiny and the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, let's move on. Let's talk now about the purpose of this book. Why did God give this book anyway? Why is Ruth this romance story? Why is this in our Bibles? Why are we here for the next five Sundays studying this book? Why does it matter? Why is it here? Well, we certainly do enjoy, family, the book of Ruth for its romantic plot. I mean, this is a great story. It's a legendary story. It's got beautiful storytelling. We're going to talk about this in a minute. It has a happy ending. But this book was not written merely to entertain people. No, we're going to see that this book was written to inform the Israelites. This was a book that was written to inform the Israelites and to teach them about the providential hand of God in bringing about the ascendancy to the throne of King David. King David was the mightiest of all kings in Israel. He ruled over the golden age of Israel. He was the greatest of all of Israel's kings. So this is why the book climaxes with the genealogy of David. This is a story that shows us the family line that brings about King David. David's right to the throne is traceable through this beautiful story. And of course, we know David's right to be the king of Israel ultimately leads to Jesus' right to be the king over Israel. Family, how many of us at Christmas time will think about the birth of Jesus, will think about the family lineage of Jesus? But sometimes we forget there in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus' famous lineage includes the name of this lady. Her name is Ruth. So this woman plays a very important role in the outflow of God's redemptive plan. So the book of Ruth is so important for us to study. Now let's talk about some of the themes of the book of Ruth. Some of the themes of Ruth, key themes. Can I give you a few of these? Maybe you'll jot them down. The first one is God's providence. God's providence. Friends, when we talk about God's providence, providence is the idea of God moving things, God orchestrating things, people, places, events, circumstances. It's God's invisible hand. It's God's fingerprints getting on things and moving things around so that His ultimate will would come to pass. So God's providence is all over this book. And we see how God blesses, God protects, His people. He blesses His people. People who trust Him. People who walk in their integrity. God directs their path. God moves things. God orchestrates things for their good and for His glory. So providence is all over the book of Ruth. Again, I said God is really the unsung hero behind the scenes. God's fingerprints are all over this story. Here's a second theme that shows up often in this study of Ruth that we'll make together. The second one there, you see, is kindness. Kindness. The kindness, the steadfast love of not only individuals, but also of the Lord. We're going to see in this book that Ruth shows incredible kindness to Naomi. She stays with her mother-in-law, even after her husband has died. Ruth stays with her mother-in-law. She shows great kindness. She helps to take care of her mother-in-law. She goes above and beyond the call of duty in love for her mother-in-law, Naomi. So we're going to see the kindness of Ruth. We're also going to see the kindness of Boaz, the incredible kindness of Boaz. He's going to show kindness to Ruth, not only in the fields, but he's also going to show great kindness when he takes her as his wife. So we see the Ruth showing up with kindness, Boaz showing up with kindness, and again, I'll say it again, the Lord's kindness is over all of it. God's plan, overseeing all of this. God is in this book pouring out His kindness, His love on His people for the eventual good of the whole nation of Israel, and ultimately for the world, because through this special line ultimately comes Jesus Christ. Now, one more theme that's so big in the book of Ruth, it's been the theme of our whole worship service today: redemption. Redemption. This idea of redemption in the book of Ruth, it's so closely aligned with kindness. It's this act that moves out of kindness, this idea of redeeming or redemption. Those words, just those words alone, redeem, redeemer, redemption, 23 times they show up in this book. 23 times those words appear in the book of Ruth. We're going to see Boaz redeems. Boaz is a redeemer in this story. He redeems not only the property of Elimelech's family, but he even redeems Ruth. He redeems her as a person. And we're going to see Ruth's life forever changed. Naomi's life forever changed. How does it happen? Because of redemption. There's this transformation that takes place in the lives of these main characters, and it happens because of redemption. Also, again, I'll say it as we back out the camera a little bit, as we take a wider view, as we widen out the lens and we study Ruth, ultimately we're studying about this family line, a family line that brings about King David, but then much further down the line, that same family ancestry gives us Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer. He's your Redeemer. He's mine. And so Ruth tells us this wonderful redemption story, and it's a picture ultimately of what Jesus Christ is coming to do. Jesus is coming ultimately to totally transform your life. He's going to transform my life. How's He going to do it? Through His redemption. Now, let's finish up today. Before we read chapter 1 together, let's talk about the significance of this book. We talked about why is it important to the Israelites? Why did it get included into the Old Testament canon? But let's take a couple minutes here just to consider, why does the book of Ruth matter to you? You're a 21st century American Christian, and you're going to study this Old Testament book for 5 Sundays. Why does it matter to you? Well, I want to show you some significance here. Families, we think about why Ruth matters. Ruth is a masterpiece of storytelling. It truly is. Even people who are not Christians, even people who don't believe in God, still agree that this is one of the greatest short stories that's ever been written. It is a masterpiece of literature. It is a classic love story. It is rich. It is deep. It is dense. It is charming. It's encouraging. Even to the most unsophisticated person, even for someone who's just a relaxed person who might be living off in the country, this is a great book to read and enjoy and to take in. The ESV Study Bible calls Ruth a quest story. I like that. It's a quest story. It's the story, and you get emotionally involved with this woman named Ruth, and you want to see her. You want to see something good happen to her out of so much bad. You want to see something good happen to her. And what's so fascinating about the book of Ruth, and I hope you'll look for this as we study it together, the book of Ruth has the classic U shape. When we talk about various kinds of literature, one kind of literature is called the comedy. Now, that doesn't mean comedy like we typically think about it today, where it's ha-ha and lots of laughs and pratfalls. No, the original idea of the comedy is a story that has the traditional U shape, where the characters get introduced, and then it all goes bad, and a whole bunch of bad stuff happens. But then what happens? As the story progresses, the U gets completed, and what happens? We get the happy ending. So that's the traditional comedy, the traditional U shape. The characters, something bad happens, and the story continues, and it concludes with something joyful, something wonderful, a truly happy ending. And we're going to see that as we study through Ruth. So even if Ruth were not in our Bibles, it would still be a great story. It would still be a great read. However, we know that the book of Ruth is ultimately given to us by God through His Holy Spirit. Because doesn't the Bible say all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable? Well, it does, doesn't it? So that means that this book is given to us by God for our good, for our spiritual growth and learning. So as we think about what the Holy Spirit would want to communicate to us, let's think here that this is a truly valuable piece of Christian literature. Since it is in the Bible, since it is given by the Holy Spirit, there are some powerful spiritual insights here, even for you and me today. Let me give you three of them. You want to jot these down? I'm going to give you three spiritual insights that just bubble up to the surface when you study the book of Ruth. Here's the first one. Integrity is rewarded. Integrity is rewarded. When we study this book, family, we're going to see Ruth is a heroine. She's a godly woman. She's a virtuous woman. She's a Proverbs 31 kind of woman. She's a virtuous and godly woman. She honors God with her attitudes, with her actions. We're going to see Boaz, likewise. He's a man of honor. He's a godly man. He has morals. He has integrity. These are two of your main characters. So you have a godly woman, you have a godly man, both of them coming together, and God blesses them. God blesses their integrity. God blesses their righteous life. And that's encouraging for us. Listen, when did the book of Ruth take place? When did this story unfold? Ah, it was the times of the judges. Dark times, chaotic times, violent times, times of unrest, times of uncertainty. Sound familiar? There's a lot of encouragement that you and I can take away as we study the book of Ruth. Dr. J. Vernon McGee once called the book of Ruth a pearl in the pig pen of the judges. A pearl in the pig pen of the judges. I think that's right. So this is a beautiful diamond that you and I can study in such dark times to see that even when things may seem to be so dark, God's there and God is still moving. God is still providentially directing all the things that He wants to accomplish for His good purposes. Now, let me give you a second little spiritual life principle that we're going to see again and again in this book. Jot this down. God providentially guides and blesses those who trust Him. God providentially guides and blesses those who trust Him. Family, Ruth is going to teach Christians today, like you and me, that the Lord is still faithful. He's still faithful. He's still the same God. He's still with His people. He's with us. He's going to guide. He's going to direct. He's going to supernaturally superintend. He's going to keep orchestrating, even when things feel dark, even when things feel that they are all going downhill, God is still in control. Even when things might feel to be at their lowest, God is still the boss. And God is still working. He's still guiding, directing, orchestrating all things according to His perfect plan. How many Christians love Romans 8:28? Oh, they know it by heart. They have little plaques on their desk, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Now, that's a great scripture. You should have that memorized. But you know what, friends? If we ever wanted to tell a story, if you ever wanted to tell a real story that would put that verse on display, just tell the story of Ruth. The story of Ruth is a story of Romans 8:28 put on display in real life. So this book encourages you and me today to stay faithful to the Lord, to keep being obedient to the Lord, to keep following His instructions, and we can trust with certainty that as we keep following God obediently, He will keep directing us righteously by His providence. Now, let me give you one more spiritual insight that we can take away for the book of Ruth. Here's a third one. Boaz is the illustration of the kinsman redeemer. Boaz is the illustration of the kinsman redeemer, namely Jesus Christ. Family, we're going to study in this book this man whose name is Boaz, this rich businessman. He comes on the scene. He's righteous. He's upright in heart. He's a godly guy. He's gracious. Out of His pure grace, out of His kindness, He redeems Ruth, and He totally changes her destiny. And so Boaz is a great illustration of Jesus Christ. He's a great illustration of what Jesus will ultimately do for you and me. Jesus is the ultimate kinsman redeemer. Jesus is the ultimate redeemer who comes. He shows us grace and kindness that we do not deserve. And Jesus changes our eternal destiny. So through Christ, we receive redemption. And not only us, but people from every tongue and tribe and nation across the earth, we are all given such blessings that we didn't deserve. Our lives are changed and we're brought into the kingdom of God. We're made a part of His family. We're now a part of the household of God. And so, friends, when we study through the book of Ruth, we meet this man, Boaz, and he is such a great illustration. He's a foretaste of Jesus and what Jesus ultimately will do for us. Well, friends, as we conclude this introductory look at the background material of the book of Ruth, I hope you're as excited as I am to study this book. This is world-class literature, and it's been given to us by God. It's filled with spiritual truth, spiritual encouragements. They're going to boost your soul in so many ways over the next 5 weeks. Everything that we could want, family, in a sermon series is here. We have a story of a quest. We have a classic love story. We have heroic characters who are godly and who live for righteousness. We have an exciting plot. We have a happy ending. And all of it works together to point us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, let's listen now and let's read together Ruth chapter 1. And let's whet our appetite here for all the great things that God is going to do for us as we study our way through this great book of redemptive romance. Let's look now at Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said to Ruth, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened, when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest.
Thanks for listening. This Preaching for a Change broadcast has been brought to you by the Grace Baptist Church of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. For more information, visit us online at mygracebaptist.church. If you enjoyed this broadcast, then share it with a friend on your favorite social media network. And be sure to join us next time for more enlightening and encouraging biblical exposition here on Preaching for a Change.